Our topic for this portion of Vocal Point is the state of the economy from a biblical perspective. Rabbi Daniel Lappin, president of the American Alliance of Jews and Christians, wrote recently, quote, "It seems that in America we're enduring a shortage of almost everything, water, electricity, oil, paper, eggs, plastic, and trees. Don't you think that with American ingenuity, resources, capital, and manpower, these shortages could be eliminated forever?" End quote. In contrast to this, the rabbi concludes, "A principal attribute of the Lord is that he is limitless in every sense. He can bestow limitless abundance upon his children. Rejoice in your closeness to him and enjoy his abundance. Reject him and you will suffer the opposite of abundance, shortage." That's right. Secularism is the religious doctrine of shortage. As America abandoned God in a long and lamentable 60-year journey, it has embraced the doctrine of shortage. Just as I see abundance as validation of my faith in God, the religion of secular fundamentalism sees shortage as validation of their faith. End quote, again, from Rabbi Daniel Lappin. He joins us right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we're going to talk about the issue of shortage, the state of the economy from a biblical perspective. Rabbi, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's so wonderful to be back with you. I'm happy to hear you sounding so good.
Okay, and likewise. So that's a very interesting point. Sometimes when you think about shortages and scarcity, it's almost as if the Malthusian perspective of the world has gained so much credence among the elite class. And I'd like you to start by just even talk about that whole idea of the Malthusian view versus the biblical idea, hey, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and fill it.
Yeah. So, you know, as I've often point out, a little while ago, I had the opportunity to take a shower in my hotel room in Dubai. And it was like standing under a waterfall, Jerry. The water was cascading in me, except it was hot. And not only was it cascading out of the roof, out of the upper outlet, the shower head, but it's coming at me from six nozzles on the side. And while I'm in the shower, I'm actually looking out the window onto the desert, a dry, arid, waterless desert. And I couldn't help thinking to myself that every time I've taken a shower in any American hotel, from an ordinary drop-in motel to the best, Four Seasons resort, it makes no difference. You get a tepid trickle drizzling down at you from the top. And so, you know, this is a country that on June the 6th, 1944, and I know it seems like an awfully long time ago, but it changed the world. The world we live in was impacted because on June the 6th, 1944, America, together with its British allies, America landed, you know, nearly a quarter of a million men on a heavily defended stretch of beach in France. And not only that, but they landed hundreds and hundreds of tanks and other vehicles and thousands of tons of fuel and millions of rounds of bullets and lots of food and lots of medical supplies. This is a most remarkable process. It took 2 years to plan. The logistics were so complicated. And yet America pulled that off. And In that same year, 1944, America built 96,000 airplanes. General Omar Bradley said that in 1942, after Pearl Harbor, when he was given the task of rebuilding the army, he pointed out that America's army was weaker than Bulgaria's. I mean, we were nothing. We weren't expecting war. We weren't anticipating. In 1944 alone, America builds 96,000 airplanes, which means one complete airplane hurled into combat every hour of every day of every week. And I mentioned that to say that a country that could do all of that cannot get itself enough water, cannot stop electricity brownouts and rolling blackouts in states like California, you know, cannot come up with enough trees so that when you buy lumber, it doesn't have to be imported lumber. What's happened to American know-how, Yankee ingenuity? What's happened to our ability to do anything? And the answer is that it seems to have vanished. And I was absolutely baffled by this. And it was then that I realized that when I go to a state fair and I see hundreds of head of beautiful fat cattle, and I see 4-H products, and I see grangers with the most magnificent fruit and produce, for me, that is a religious thrill. You know, I smile at God and I say, you did it again. I mean, your abundance is so amazing. And that's when I realized that that secularism, or what I call the religion of secular fundamentalism, is the mirror image of our religion. And so they live in a godless universe. And if God means abundance, then godlessness means scarcity, obviously, because they live in a material-only world, and materialism is always limited. It's only the spiritual reality that is unlimited and can produce an unlimited reality. But secularism or secular fundamentalism is always going to be a religion of shortage. So it's not that America could not solve the water shortage, or could not solve the electrical shortage, you know, or could not solve the wood shortage, or could not solve the land and wasteful shortage and everything else short. Of course it could, but it doesn't want to, because they get a religious thrill, if you like. They get a philosophical kick out of manifesting shortage, because that validates a godless universe. So just as abundance validates for me a world of a good, loving, and abundant God in charge, so it is that ever-present shortages philosophically validate their worldview of secularism, of no God. And so entirely artificially, they maintain an America of embarrassing shortage.
That is very interesting. By the way, when you were talking all those things about World War II and how by God's grace we were able to get ready, you know, for the conflict and so forth, the government at that time, our U.S. government issued with a little foreword by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president, copies of the New Testament. There was a Protestant version, there was a Catholic version, and then even copies of, a compendium of Old Testament readings for Jewish, soldiers. But here were, little Bibles that were issued to our military with a foreword from FDR saying, this is a book that has provided strength and courage for millions down through the ages. We hope that, it will be encouraging to you. And, you know, what a difference. Whereas today, you can't even imagine the idea of the government sending out a Bible to those serving in the military.
Right. And the point to bear in mind is that this whole culture of shortage began exactly the same time as God was taken out of school, our Bible was taken out of education, as the country began its journey into secularism, 1962, 63, thereabouts, 64. That was when the whole idea of shortage and environmentalism and limitations and recycling, which is a sacred sacrament of the religion of secularism, all of that began simultaneously because of this paradigm. Because otherwise, Jerry, it is an impossible to answer question how an America that could do all of that years ago, today we're a much richer country, there's much more technology, there's much more of everything. How come we can't solve these silly problems? How come you have to shower in an embarrassing trickle of water? Just solve the problem, that's all. No, you can't. If you live in a secular world, then solving the problem is almost an act of travesty, an act of heresy.
Well, it's interesting, too, when you talk about substitute religion, you think about the whole climate change and global warming, and that's like a substitute religion, and they hold those tenets, you know, religiously, and a lot of it's just all based on false premises, and then they're scaring all these young people. I mean, we should not forget that only about 3 or 4 years ago, AOC told the whole world, hey, we only have 10 years left. So, you know, that's about, we're about 6 years away from what, the end of the world?
And look, people are not yet sufficiently cynical to believe that their government lies to them. But that's changing. People are becoming more and more suspicious that they're not being told the truth. And so when you look at photographs taken 100 years ago of, shall we say, a statue on the waterfront in Italy, or a building on the waterfront in Copenhagen, and you now look at a photograph of that exact same situation and you see the water level hasn't changed a bit, then when people hear, oh, the water level's rising, you know, they're going to start being a bit skeptical when they discover that the wealthy elite of the country are not selling their oceanfront property off at pennies on the dollar. They're buying it. So obviously they themselves don't believe that the sea level is rising. But little by little, the skepticism towards the elite and towards even government authority is growing, which is a very sad thing.
I'm sure you're familiar with the song by that man. He's crying from the heart, basically saying, I'm working real hard, but I'm not making enough money to make a living. The song I'm talking about is Rich Men North of Richmond. It's a surprise hit, but, you know, it's basically saying, hey, we're part of the middle class, and it's hard to make a living today in modern America.
Well, part of this canyon that cuts right through the culture, dividing on the one side those who consider Judeo-Christian belief to be an obstacle to progress from those on our side who consider Judeo-Christian values to be vital for our nation's survival, one of the differences is the idea of masculinity. Masculinity is a religious and a conservative value. It is the left that is destroying masculinity, and we see a guy like that noting the fact that as part of this war on masculinity, the country has increased the number of female-type jobs and diminished the number of jobs that are typically men jobs. So, you know, construction work, factory work, dangerous work, working high up on scaffolding, working on rigging, all of these jobs are diminishing in America. And the type of jobs that are increasing are, so, you know, desk jobs, the sort of things that women will – and in fact, as somebody told me who runs a very big company in California, he said, when I get a vacancy, when I need somebody to hire somebody, I know better than to hire a white man. I can't do it. And so, yes, the plight of men, particularly white men, but it's true of black men as well, is deteriorating because masculinity is reviled and demonized on the left, and it's only something that is valued in a religious culture and in a conservative culture where we understand there is such a thing as manliness and manly virtues and honor and strength and being a great husband and a great father. None of these things have value to the political left.
Okay, we have half a minute left. It's amazing what you're saying. So secularism is the religious doctrine of shortage. Interesting comment.
And the doctrine that is hostile to masculinity while we're at it.
Wow, that's amazing. But is there hope? Yes. Read the Bible. RabbiDanielLapin.com for more information. Lapin is spelled L-A-P-I-N. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Great being with you. Bye-bye.